And this is the last in the subject, is why did Jesus come? And who remembers the first one that we did? Why did Jesus came? He came to bring... came to bring peace. Did he? We had to make a decision there. Did he come to bring peace or did he come to bring a sword? Who did he come to bring peace to? Okay. And then the next one we heard, he came to bring a message of hope to the lost. And we looked at how that's actually our job as well, to carry on where he left off, bringing that message of hope to people that are lost, that don't know God, have no hope in this world. And we have the privilege of sharing what's been given freely to us to pass on. And then we heard that Jesus came to seek and save the lost. I love that bit because he had his eyes on us too when he came to seek and save. And came looking for the lost. And again, we need to seek people out and put them on a prayer target, speak to them, and most of all, ideally win them out without words, win them by how we live, how we enjoy what God has given us. Okay, and so this week is the last one we can be looking at, and it's a bit amazing. You look at this little squidgy baby, and we all go, oh, neat noise. And we love the manger scene and all that. But the last thing that we're going to look at is that he came to destroy. Jesus came to destroy. And I need my little thingy. Excuse me a minute. Is this ready to roll? PowerPoint. Wonderful. Came to destroy the works of the devil. And I need your help in this, by the way, because as you know, I haven't got a clue what I'm doing. So I will need you to come up with some of these answers for me. So, but we'll just read through 1 John 3, first part. See how great a love the Father has bestowed on us, that we would be called children of God. And such we are. For this reason the world doesn't know us, because it didn't know him. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not appeared as yet what we will be. We know that when he appears, we will be like him, because we will see him just as he is. And everyone who has this hope fixed on him purifies himself just as he is pure. Everyone who practices sin also practices lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness. You know that he appeared in order to take away sins, and in him there is no sin. No one who abides in him sins. No one who sins has been seen or knows him, has seen or known him. Little children, make sure no one deceives you. The one who practices righteousness is righteous, just as he is righteous. The one who practices sin is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. The Son of God appeared for this purpose, to destroy the works of the devil. No one who is born of God practices sin, because his seed abides in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. By this, the children of God and the children of the devil are obvious. Anyone who doesn't practice righteousness is not of God, nor the one who doesn't love his brother. Interesting. Interesting that he put that bit in there. Okay. So what did Jesus come to destroy? Pardon? The works of the devil. Okay? So what are Satan's works? What are the devil's works that Jesus came to destroy? Oh, look at this. is the next preacher. Hang on.
Sin.
Death. Whoa. That is a wonderful answer. Jesus came to destroy death. Who holds the power of death, or who held the power of death? Doesn't anymore, but not for us. The devil. That's right. Okay. So Satan's works, in a nutshell, is sin. And it says sin is lawlessness. So what's lawlessness? Not following God's word? That's quite right. Okay. Lawlessness is living as though your own ideas are superior to God's. It says, I don't need God, I can do it on my own. Lawlessness replaces God's law with my laws, and I become a law to myself. You can have that in religion. You can have that in the Christian religion, where our laws, our rules, actually take the place of the Word of God. Having a Toy Story drama down there. It's basically rebellion against the right of God to make laws and rule over us, his creation. And we will not have this man to reign over us. And it's lawlessness. All of that leads to death. Interestingly, it says, he who practices sin also practices lawlessness. And he who practices righteousness is righteous. So how do you practice righteousness? Told you I don't know what I'm doing. You need to answer. How do you practice righteousness? That's put you all deep in thought. Reading and following God's word is a part of it. That's absolutely right. Is it keeping the law? If we keep all of the law, we're okay, aren't we? That's all we've got to do. Okay. Just going to read a bit here. Hebrews 10:14. For by one offering he has perfected for all time those who are sanctified. And the Holy Spirit also testifies to us. For after saying, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws upon their heart, and on their mind I will write them. He then says, and their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. Now where there is forgiveness of these things, there is no longer any offering for sin. And therefore, brethren, since we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus, let us draw near with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let's hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithfulness. So what is this righteousness and how do we practice it? We have to believe what God says about us, according to his word. We have to believe and accept what Jesus has done for us once and for all. It's not trying to be right with God. It's acknowledging, I'm righteous because I acknowledge I have been put right with God. And okay. I'm not talking about sinless perfection here, by the way. Let me hasten to add. But like Abraham, how was Abraham declared righteous? Why did God declare him righteous? He believed God. He didn't do some amazing act. He didn't keep some amazing difficult law. He simply believed what God said to him. And God said, I will take that as your righteousness with me. And our righteousness is believing what God says about us, believing what Jesus has done for us. It's not me trying to be something to God, to be pleasing to God. I'm pleasing to God not because of anything I do. I'm pleasing to God because I'm in Jesus. That's why I'm pleasing to him. And we trust completely in the finished work of Jesus. We learn to believe God's word and obey the Holy Spirit given to us. The other bit that we read out there, everyone who is born of God, you must be born again. You cannot just decide, oh, okay, then I'm going to do what God says. It doesn't work. You've got to have his life in you. And we have to be born again. And we have to be given a new heart and a new spirit. That's why we don't practice sin. That's why we don't practice lawlessness, is because we have got a new thing in us that does not want to do that. It doesn't mean that we don't. We still sin. We still do things wrong. We still get things wrong. But we don't make a practice of it. I'm not comfortable anymore doing stuff I know God doesn't want me to do, because there is something in me that is really unhappy about that, and that's the Spirit of God in me. He's given me a heart that actually delights in pleasing God. I can still please myself sometimes, and I can still do things wrong. But I'm on a journey with that, and God says, I don't mark that. I'm looking at the new life in you, which is growing up. That is increasing, and the rest is decreasing. The most important thing that of any of God's dealings with us, what's God's main aim for you? Is it that you should be squeaky clean and shiny and do everything he tells you to? What does God want for you? Why did Jesus die? So that you could be set free and forgiven. What does God want for you? Why did he do that? Terrible, terrible price to pay. Why did he do it? I'm scared to answer. Pardon. That's right. The whole thing revolves around a love relationship with God. He's not a being who sits there and says, come on, you grovellers. I want more people to grovel for me. Show my power. He doesn't do that. He says, I want to share my glory with you. I want you to know me as much as you know, as much as I know you. It's fellowship that God has called. He's called a family. His inheritance is you and me. The inheritance is people. And he wants a family. We're the family of God, part of the family of God. So everything that we go through is designed to bring us to him. Jesus spent nights in prayer and fasted. I recommend the 40-day one. But he spent much time in prayer, not because he had to, but because he chose to, and he wanted to, and he needed to. We are no different. We have to do the same thing. Because if we have situations, those situations, there are many things that could happen to us and God doesn't permit it, and we're quite unaware of it. And there are other things, quite significant things that happen to us, and he says, I'm trying to get your attention. I want you to get close to me. And you won't come. You're so busy doing stuff. I want you to draw near. And he will arrange our circumstances that we get the message and actually do something about it. Because he wants us to know him. And he also wants us to realize that he himself is the only source of life, the only source of anything worth having. Any good thing comes from God, and it's freely given to us through Jesus. Sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. So when Jesus fulfilled all the law on our behalf and died in our place, he pulled the string and so destroyed Satan's claim and power over us. And Colossians 1:13 says he rescued us from the domain of darkness. We've been transferred out of the devil's kingdom into God's kingdom. And it has no more say over us now. Satan has to... He's trying to build a kingdom. And so he will kind of neutralize us, if you like. And so he's pretty quick to say, you've sinned. You're no good. You will never make it. Look at you. And Jesus destroyed all that. When he came and purchased us with his own life, with his own blood, he broke that power of Satan. And first of all, he had to overcome temptation for himself. He had to live his life as a man, as our representative. And he did it. He was sinless. He did no wrong. And but Satan desperately tried to get him to do something as an individual. And so he'd fasted 40 days. He would have been very weak and very vulnerable. So along comes Satan and he says, what's the first thing he said to him? If. If, that little word if. If you're the Son of God, do something. And each time Jesus shut him down with the word of God. If you're the Son of God, throw yourself off of this thing. And then that wasn't working. So he said, listen, just worship me and I'll give you all this. You don't have to go through all this. You can have it right now. It's all yours, just waiting for you. And he told him where to go. What did he do with Eve? Did God say? Nah, he's just a spoilsport God. He knows that there's something better for you. And he does the same with us constantly. He either says, if you are a Christian, you should be like that, or you shouldn't do that, or something. It's one of the if yous. Or he will say, did God say that? No, that's not right. Anything to get us to act outside of God. And Jesus lived as a man by the power of the Holy Spirit. He lived in exactly the same way that we live in now. And what he did, we can do, and we need to do. We need to reach people in this world by our life. We need to allow God to make use of us while we live the rest of our lives in this world. And so that's really where we're at. And it's just to the last bit as well. I'll try and do it quickly because I want to pray. Where else will Jesus come and destroy? Where else has he come to destroy? He comes into our lives sometimes to destroy. He will destroy the sin in us too. And he is absolutely determined. He will have us as we must be. And he will set us free from anything that hinders that and anything that would harm us. He will destroy it. And he does that through our circumstances, through other people, various different ways. But God has come, Jesus has come, as a destroyer of sin. And he's destroyed the works of the devil. And he has set us free from that kingdom. Okay, that's about it. And can we just... Oh no, you don't need to do this, do you? Can we sing Rend... Created me. Okay. be good if we can just have a couple of songs, and then what I wanted us to do was to just get into little groups and just spend a bit of time in prayer. And I've got one or two subjects I can mention, but I'd like to ask you for what's on your heart. And it would be good to pray, but it'd just be good to get on our feet and sing this, "Create in me a clean heart. He is the only hope we've got. And my Bible says it's a hope that will not make us ashamed. It will not fail. He is able to deliver and save us to the uttermost. And that is what he is determined and capable of doing." Okay, so. Okay, I'd just like us, if we would, just to kind of turn around and just make little groups around so we can pray in groups. Okay, I'd like us to spend just a bit of time just praying through some points. I've got some prayer points here, but this, if you've got other things, that's absolutely fine. Just some things to pray about, the things in Belvedere, things going on in Belvedere, the needs in Belvedere, and our place in it. How do we fit into meeting the needs for God in this place? We've got, starting Friday the 5th, we've got the homeless winter shelter here every Friday night, which will certainly need some prayer. But also there are other things at BBC, like cat job, debt counselling, etc., prison work. There are street pastors here who certainly need prayer. We've got HOTS. What else we got? All sorts of things, really. Okay. Yeah, food banks. Pray for the children of this church. They are the leaders of this church. And pray that they don't end up like us. Pray that they learn to walk in the Spirit of God and do amazing things. And, you know, yes, we'll give them a foundation, but they need to build on it. God calls them as individuals, and each one of those will be a unique walk with God. So pray for them. Pray that God will protect them, and we need to cover them in prayer. Okay, leaders of the country, we're instructed to pray for those in authority, and when you look at the way this country is rapidly going downhill now, we certainly need some intervention there, and world issues, international justice mission being one of them. I thought you might like that. Okay, so just get together and just pray. If you've got things that you want for yourself, prayer for yourself, if you're free to just share it and get people to pray, that's great. If you don't feel comfortable doing that, then afterwards find somebody you do feel comfortable with to pray. But whatever you do, pray. Let's close the door on 2017, knowing that all of that stuff that we've been dragging around, all those fears, all those worries, all of those pressures, that we hand them over. And don't take them out of this room. Just let them stay. They won't be here next week, so don't worry. Okay, let's have a go. Okay. Praise you, Lord. Father, thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your grace. Thank you, Lord, that your incredible, absolute power is directed at our good, not at our harm, Lord. Thank you, Father, that you're able to deliver us completely from everything, Lord, that would put a barrier between you and us, Lord. Father, just want to thank you for 2017, Lord, for all of the good things that have begun in it, Lord, and thank you too for the challenges that we have found in it, Lord, too. Thank you, Lord, that you were right there with us in the good and the bad, Lord, and you will never leave us. Father, so I just want to commit each one of us to you, Lord, for 2018, Lord, and just pray that it won't be like 2017. Lord, that we will be, Father, more obedient to you, Lord. Father, that we will see you more and be, Father, just closer in our fellowship with you, that you will put a hunger in our hearts, Lord. Father, to let go of those things that hinder us and run with you, Lord. Father, that we will be willing to take courage that you give us and be creative, Lord, for your kingdom. Lord, to see what we can do as individuals, Lord. Father, to let go of those things and to release people by forgiveness, Lord, from things that we hold against them because of we were hurt or offended, Lord. Father, we just want to lay them down now, Lord, and to forgive them as you have forgiven us completely, Lord, from far greater things, Lord. Lord, that we can walk in your mercy, Lord, and that we can deal in every way of our lives in mercy, Lord. And that, Father, your kingdom will advance, Lord, far more in 2018, Lord, that people will see your light and come running, Lord. Father, thank you, Lord. Amen.